I was actually saying before service that, you know, this tiara feels pretty natural on my head. I'm not going to lie. All right. Good evening. I almost said good morning. Apparently, I am under-caffeinated this week. All right. I am so excited to see everybody's smiling face this evening. I do want to start out speaking this evening with a small warning. Some of the things that I will be talking about and mentioning might make you uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is good. But, you know, even though it means that you are recognizing an area where you may need a bit more God, maybe a bit more growth, and a lot less world, I do not want to trigger any feelings of panic or anxiety in anybody. This is a safe place. I love you. We love you. Might get a little heavy at times, but I promise you, we're going to get through it together. So tonight, I want to talk to you about idolatry. Thanks to the Old Testament, most of us have heard of idols at least once. Exodus 20:4 says, "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea." Leviticus 19:4 follows up and says, "Do not put your trust in idols or make metal images of gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 4 has an entire section about idols and idolatry. But wait a minute. What is idolatry? Quite plainly, it is the worship of idols. More fleshed out, it is extreme admiration, love, or reverence for something or someone. Now, everyone, minus Jesus, at some point in their lives, participates in idolatry. Everyone. Maybe it was previously, maybe it's now, or maybe it is yet to come. But everyone does it. Now, I'm pretty sure that at least one person in the room is probably thinking, me? No, I would never. First thing that I want to say is, it's okay. We all do it. Okay. I'm not saying that sin is okay. I'm not saying that idolatry is okay. I'm saying we're all gonna stumble. We're all gonna make mistakes. An idol can be anything. Sometimes you don't even realize that you have the idol until it's pointed out to you. An idol is the thing that you race to when you're hurting, when you're tired, sometimes even when you're happy. I picked up a great book recently. It's called Gods at War. And it's written by a man named Kyle Eidelman. If you are currently suffering with idols in your life, or if you have ever suffered with an idol in your life, I do highly recommend it. But in chapter 2, Eidelman says, "Where is your sanctuary? Where do you go when you are hurting? Let's say it's been a terrible day at the office. You come home and go where? To the refrigerator for comfort food like ice cream? To the phone to vent with your most trusted friend? Do you seek escape in novels or movies or video games or pornography? Where do you look for emotional rescue? The Bible tells us that God is our refuge and strength, our help in times of trouble. So much so that we will not fear though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." That's Psalm 46:1-2. "That strikes me as a good place to run, but it's so easy to forget. So easy for us to run in other directions. Where we go says a lot about who we are. The high ground we seek reveals the geography of our values. I think that Mr. Eidelman has hit that on the head. When you think about the things that you run to, is it instantly God? Is that the first thing you look for when you are hurting, when you are troubled? Is it chocolate? Is it a warm blanket? Is it a hot tub? Is it a friend? Is it a husband or a wife? All of the things that Mr. Eidelman mentions in that last passage, to me, they seem like obvious idols. I don't know if that's because even at a younger age, in my family, there was talk of idols and idol worship and what is an idol and why that is not where we should be going. I don't know if I'm just hyper aware of it or what. But the obvious, those are the things that seem obvious to me. Food, porn, computer, that sort of stuff. Other easily identifiable idols could be your car, your phone. Money is a huge one. I mean, that is literally the golden calf of the world. Money. The thing is that there's also idols that are not quite as easy to identify. Your spouse, your kids, your extended family, yourself, or your ego. The idol of perfection. You have to have everything perfect. Worship music can even be an idol. Mountaintop feelings can be an idol. When you're experiencing that God high and you start to chase the feeling rather than the giver of the feeling, it turns it into an idol. It takes that beautiful thing that is used to worship God and tarnishes it. I'm going to confess to you guys something. My biggest idol, one that I struggle with almost constantly, is the idol of self-disparagement. I spend so much time focusing on what is wrong with me that I sometimes forget that the King of Kings, God the Father, created me to be exactly who I am. The woman standing before you is a Jesus-loving, caffeine-addicted, hot mess of a mom. But you know what? God created me. I am his hot mess. And in his eyes, I'm a beautiful mess. Lovingly crafted to help spread the word of his kingdom with the stories of my life, with my experiences. Remembering that makes me realize that I am always way too hard on myself. Way, way too hard on myself. An amazing friend recently told me that I need to smash the mirror that I have been clutching of myself and accept the mirror that God is holding out for me. To look at myself through God's eyes. Talk about a wake-up call. I literally was sitting in the chair going, just crying, because, you know, feelings. Now, knowing that I have idols that I am struggling with, the crazy thing is that God still allows me to get up here time after time and bring you guys the word. Like, and do you guys know why? So in Romans 3:24, it says, "Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." In his grace. Let me say that for you one more time. In his grace. God wants us to stay in relationship with him. He wants us to help bring the rest of his children home. So he's going to give us his grace. The God of the universe gives us the gift of grace. What an amazing God we serve. He could just as easily say, I have given you countless chances. You've screwed it up. Go kick rocks. That's not what he's doing. He doesn't say that. He says, yes, you messed up. Yes, I was watching. Yes, I still love you. You are still my child. Hey, princess of God. Like the prodigal son, we are welcomed back into his arms and into his good graces. Why? Because he's the God of love. I mean, honestly, it blows my mind when I think about the number of times that I have run to something that is not God and then turned around and God went, yes, I was watching. Come back. I can't even count how many times that has happened in my life. Because we all do it. It's easy to make that mistake. Anything that is not the Almighty Father has the potential to become an idol. But being aware of where you are worshiping can give you an advantage on the battlefield that is your heart. The thing about idolatry is that it's not just a little sin. It's not even just a sin. Another quote from Gods at War, Kyle Eidelman says, idolatry isn't just one of many sins. Rather, it's the one great sin that all others come from. So if you start scratching at whatever struggle you are dealing with, eventually you'll find that underneath there's a false god. Until that god is dethroned and the Lord God takes his rightful place, you will not have victory. Idolatry isn't an issue, it is the issue. All roads lead to the dusty, overlooked concept of false gods. If you deal with life on the glossy outer layers, you might never see it. Scratch a little beneath the surface and you begin to see that it's always there, under some other coat of paint. There are 100 million different symptoms, but the issue is always idolatry. Now, part of that I really agree with. I do think that underneath most sin, it's just idolatry. If you think about it, murder, you are worshiping at the idol of power. You have power over another human being. You've ended their life. Adultery, you are worshiping at the idol of lust. When you think about the different sins, they all kind of boil down to one really big sin that kind of changes its costume every now and again. I do disagree with him where he says all roads lead to the dusty, overlooked concept of false gods. I don't think that's true. Because if you are using the GPS, God positioning system, it will lead you down the right path. If you look through the Bible for all the mentions of idolatry, you're going to find that a lot of the time, idolatry is also referred to as adultery. Because that is what it is. Instead of loving the Lord and being faithful to God above, a person is loving and worshiping something else. I mean, the book of Ezekiel, literally, that's the entire book. Is idolatry being meshed with adultery. So much so that as I was looking through Ezekiel, I was like, I don't even know which passage to use because all of them could have applied. Having the sin of idolatry in your life doesn't mean that you are so lost that you cannot come back. It doesn't mean that you as a person are so horrible that we should kick you out the doors right now. That's not what it means at all. Seeing that sin, seeing that, yes, there is something that has taken the place of God somewhere in your life, is just the first step to dethroning that idol. That is your first step to taking your life, holding it up to God and saying, I'm sorry, I misstepped a little there. I don't like this guy as much as I thought I did. Living in the world that we currently live in, you cannot turn on the TV or the radio without hearing it. It's movies about how the most important thing in the world is you. It's music about how, oh, you couldn't keep your girl, so I stole her. It's in books. It's on the street. It's on bumper stickers. Like, whatever happened to nice, happy-go-lucky bumper stickers? Seriously. I did see a Bob Ross bumper sticker today that just said happy little trees. On the other side of his car, though, there was another bumper sticker over a dent that said happy little accident. I wonder if he thought that when it happened. But it's gotten to the point where I don't want to let my kids watch anything. I don't want to have the radio on most of the time. I don't want to take them out in public because odds are we're going to see something that I don't really want them exposed to. But thankfully, having the children that I have, which are, you know, they're curious, they're crazy, they're everywhere all at once, is amazing. Because with their curiosity, when they do ask a question, hey, mommy, why does that guy do that? I can say, well, sweetie, that guy seems like maybe he loves cigarettes a little bit more than he loves God. He's having a bad day, so that's why he's screaming into his cell phone and smoking. Oh, well, he should try praying. That's the easy answer, son. You know, it scares me to look at the world that we live in right now and realize that I still have so much to do before I'm prepared to send my kids out into it, not holding my hand. I mean, considering most days I don't want to venture out into the world, I don't want to put them out into it either. Part of recognizing where your altar is, where you're worshiping, it's not just a, hey, yeah, I go to church, I worship God. You know, as I said earlier, as Eidelman said, when you're hurting, when you are at your lowest, when you are in your moment of need, what are you reaching for? What are you grasping at? I know in my life I have definitely been in places where it's been food, it's been alcohol, it's been another human being. Unfortunately, I have a slight bit of a codependent personality. I need people. I also typically need people to need me. It's really unfortunate. But the best news about that is God wants us to be codependent with him. He doesn't want us to need everything else. You know, he wants us to need him. He wants us to crave his relationship, his touch, his love. not the love of the refrigerator, not that small bit of satisfaction that we get when we hit the button on Netflix that says, are you still watching? You know, I think it's like 4 episodes in, it asks you that question. I haven't binged anything in a really long time, so don't quote me on that. But he wants to be the thing that we're reaching for. It's funny that as I've been working on this sermon this week, you know, I was really worried when I first had the idea to do a series on idolatry that this was going to be a really hard one for me. I was like, ooh, it was kind of my idea, but what was I thinking? But as I sat down this week and went, okay, God, what do we have to say about idolatry? In my head, I'm going, idols, bad. Yes, and? It surprised me that the writing came easier, especially stopping and looking at where I've been and what I've done and the people that I know. I'm going to share another brief story with you guys about a family member of mine who has been in crisis for quite some time now. He has overdosed on drugs more than once, literally flatlined twice. The last time was fairly recently, actually. And last weekend, he, while the rest of his family was visiting other family, he decided that drinking a half a bottle of rum at 9:30 in the morning was a good idea. He got in his truck, and he proceeded to drive to my aunt's house. They think that he must have passed out as he came around the corner because his foot was so heavy on the gas that he plowed into my uncle's truck, which got pushed into my cousin's truck, which got pushed up almost to the front door of their house. He had to be yanked out of the truck that he was in to stop it from moving forward. Nobody got hurt. Nobody was in the vehicles. And he was not hurt. Thankfully, he didn't hit anybody on the way there either, because it's a good 10-15 minute drive from the one spot to the next. And while I was on the phone with my aunt, you know, kind of talking her down and, you know, first thing, I mean, she had her husband calling the cops before she even opened the door to see who it was, much less see that, oh my gosh, that's my family member behind that wheel. You know, that moment of conflict, I can't imagine standing there in her shoes at that point. But she asked me, and she does not go to church. She only recently has started down a more moral path, which I'm very thankful for. But she asked me, she said, why? Why would he think to do that and then drive? And I had to be honest with her. I said, well, he cares more about what the alcohol is doing for him than he does about anything else in his life right now. That is his idol. And she just, she couldn't quite get that I was saying that alcohol was an idol. She's still under that thought that, you know, the idol is the golden calf. It's a statue. A lot of people don't think that the idols evolved with us. You know, as people, we have changed from nomads and desert wanderers to city builders, technology inspirers. I don't know. But the thing is that the idols have evolved. They've changed with us. They aren't still the same idols of a nomad and a desert wanderer. They are the idols of the city builders. They are the idols of the holders of the technology. And for some people, a lot of people in fact, it's drugs and alcohol. I will let you know, he spent a couple hours, really, more in jail, which I think he needed more time there. I also believe in tough love. But my aunt has been getting a lot of trouble from his mother. Well, why did you send him to jail? She said, well, what else was I going to do? My insurance isn't going to cover the repair to anything if I didn't. And that was the safest place for him to be. I've spoken to this family member of mine since last Saturday on the phone. And I'm going to keep trying. He does not quite understand even why I'm standing right here, right now. You know, his exact words to me have been, what, so you just like sold yourself out to God? No. I don't think one can sell themselves to God. He's kind of in charge. No big deal or anything. He's God. But he asked me if I found myself in God, and I said, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, I found myself in God. And then I said, you know, the funny thing is, Bub, you could too. He would love for you to find yourself in him. At which point he hung up on me. He's not there yet. I don't know if he ever will be, to be honest. But I'm going to keep trying. The grip of an idol can be one of the hardest things to break. Because a person becomes so used to needing something or thinking they need something that they feel like they couldn't go on without it. You know, it's, you know, I joke that I'm caffeine addicted. I actually frequently go without caffeine. It can be a little scary sometimes. But I know that I will, in fact, survive without it. I will make it through the day. I can be just as chipper as I am. I'm going to make it. I can make it without chocolate. It probably wouldn't be quite as pleasant for me because chocolate tastes good, but I can make it. It is not a necessity for my life to continue going forward. God is. And God has to be the necessity, not the fancy trappings of God, though. I think a lot of people don't realize that there have been places where the worship of God has become the idol. Not, I know, right? Not God himself, but the worship of God. Oh, I can worship God better than you. It's ego is what it is. It's ego and it's self. But it's, again, someone taking what was meant to be a joy and beautiful and tarnishing it. I often look at how much money is put into beautifying a church building. Yes, it's nice to have a beautiful church. But is it necessary to spend $2 million renovating a building when it could be used better elsewhere? Or are we simply saying, my church is better than your church? Maybe, maybe not. One of the other ones that I mentioned earlier was worship music. That one's a hard one for me because I love worship music. I love, love worship music. And sometimes I just have to turn it off because I realize that the way that the music itself is making me feel is not necessarily a feeling from God. Because I'm not going, yes, Jesus, yes, this music, it's bringing me closer to you. I'm going, ooh, this is such a good song. It's got such a catchy beat. That's not what it's there for. And that's, I mean, for me, really hard to look at myself and go, you love worship music a little too much sometimes. Do you love worshiping God that much? Asking myself that question is sometimes painful. Because sometimes the answer is, well, do I have to admit to this? Okay, yeah, God sees it already. No. But the worship music is just a tool. It is a tool to help us gain access or closer access to the God that loves us. Are we meant to love the Creator more than the creation? Of course. So are we meant to love God more than we love the tools used to access His love? Well, not His love. To access isn't the right word. The tools used to help bring us into where we feel we need to be to access God. Because we have access to God anywhere, anywhere, anytime. Really, we don't need anything. Yeah, sometimes it can help, especially if, you know, you've had a rough day. And you feel like, okay, I'm ready for church, but I'm still in a bad mood. And then you come in here, and the music's going. And sometimes it helps just to go and let it all go. When it's being used as a tool and not as the focus of the worship itself, you're in a good place. Now, my point this week was not to bring you guys down, not to beat you up for having idols, because I have idols. My point this week was to help us all recognize what our idols are, to take a look at ourselves, really look inside yourself. And if you need to ask for God's help, please do it. I highly encourage it, but really look. Where am I worshiping? Where is my altar? Have I built an altar to the Lord? Or have I built an altar to Disney? Yeah, you heard me. We're looking at our idols. And we're going to begin forming our battle plan. Next week, I'm going to be up here again. And I am going to be talking to you, at you, whichever works for you, about replacing the idols that you have with God. Dethroning your idols. giving them up like a rock, like a burden, and replacing them with God. Forming our battle plan for the battlefield that is our hearts, because truly, we're at war. So, our next steps this week. I would like you to spend time this week identifying your idols. Look into your heart. Look at where you place your love, where you focus your worship. Odds are, that's your idol. If you seek to please your spouse before you seek to please God, that's an idol. If you seek to please your kids before you seek to please God, guess what? That's an idol. Same goes with your job, yourself. Who needs to be happy here? Good news. If God's happy, odds are he's going to help you be happy too. Next step is to ask God to help you fight off the temptation of your idols. Now, I know that that's hard. Temptation sucks. It sucks the life out of you. It can suck the joy out of you. And it tries really hard to suck the God out of you. You got it, Jody. But with God's help, you can banish those temptations. You don't even see them anymore. You're turning a blind eye. Because God is what matters more. And the third one I know is really, really, really hard. Do not be afraid to ask for help staying clear of your idols. We have instituted a phone basket at our house. When we are having family time, Michael and I put our phones in the basket. Because otherwise, it can be a little too tempting to go, what's going on Instagram right now? There's a lull in the conversation. We don't need that. There have been many times where I've said, you know, reached out to a friend and said, hey, I'm really struggling with this right now. I am having a hard time keeping my focus on God and off of this. Will you help me? And every time I send one of those texts, my heart like, and my stomach seizes. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to hit the send button. I always hit the send button. So sometimes it's by accident. But I hit the send button. Don't be afraid to ask for help. One of the wonderful things about these amazing brothers and sisters in Christ that we have is that we're here for each other. We are a family. We have been through hell the past couple years. It has been up and down and up and down and down and down and up and down over and over. But we're here. We're family. We're a village. So this week, as you are going about your days, going about your week, I want you to be thinking about your idols. Now, I do want to mention that asking for help with an idol does not necessarily mean that you have to tell whoever it is that you're asking for help specifically what your idol is. People can pray for you without knowing the specifics. It happens every single day. Do not feel like you have to expose yourself so deeply that it could cause trauma when you are asking for help. The point is to get you closer to God. And sometimes if you're asking for help and causing yourself trauma, it could actually do the opposite. Do remember self-care as you are asking for help. I am going to pray for us, and then we will be heading into a few moments of silence, of some silent reflection. And as you sit here, I would really, really like for you guys to just ask God to point things out if he thinks they need to be pointed out. Because sometimes we don't get it on our own. Most of the time, in fact. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you allow us to live in your grace. That you welcome us home every time we stumble. And that even though you've told us numerous times that idol worship is bad, you love us when we falter. Even when we falter. Father God, as we head into this time of silent reflection, I ask that for those who are ready and need help identifying where their idols might lie, just give them a hint, a glimpse. God, we need you. We need your direction. We need your love. We know that you are meant to be our one true point of worship. I ask right now that you help keep us in line with that. I ask that you continue giving grace where grace is needed. Help folks not to beat up on themselves. I know that that's hard. God, you are so good and so amazing and so loving and forgiving. And we thank you for that. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.